Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
Yum-yums. There is a particular reason I put that on. It used to be a favourite of mine. I'd say used to. I still will dance to it if I'm out on a particular Northern Soul night. They won't play it everywhere. The voice you can hear is, of course it's me. You know that because you've logged on. And we're all very logged on today. I'm Hattie Ashdown. You're listening to The Funny Mummies for The Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. That was the Yum-Yums big thing. You can't get better than that, walking onto the middle of the dance floor. So, how do you party anymore? Our topic today was nominated, shall we say, by one of our favourite panellist guests. Oh, I should have said we're into season four now of The Funny Mummies. With me is, of course, Gemma Beagley. You're right, Gemma, we can't... Oh, mic's not up.
Oh,
that would help, wouldn't it? Sorry, it's my fault. We've, like, run in, come straight in, haven't got my glasses. Well, I haven't got them on because I'm in between glasses. I just had an...
You're in between glasses? Yeah. That's a thing.
I'm so old now. I went to have an eye test and I said... And, like, they've deteriorated since, like, 2 years ago. And I was like, what? Like, is this just going to be the thing every 2 years? Like, I'm going to be... not be able to see by the time I'm 50. And she was like, no, you just sometimes you have like a growth leap. I was like, isn't it a growth deterioration of the eyes? But yeah, so she's like, congratulations, you've got old eyes. So,
but I remember I had that. Sorry, hello.
This is Margaret Caborn Smith.
I'm just going to jump in here.
Get in, Margaret.
I remember when because I had 20/20 vision for a really long time, and then I went to
show
to
off.
Well, at 28, I went to the. It's not called the eye doctor, optician, ophthalmologist, yeah, whatever. And she said that I needed glasses, and I was like, oh God, well, what's happened? She was like, no, you're just getting old. At 28,
wow.
I was like, oh come on! But that was my first sort of medical. You're going downhill.
And has the prescription got stronger?
No, actually, I've got better vision than ever, guys. I say in my glasses.
Because you are a glasses wearer, Margaret.
Yeah, I have been. Although people don't ever seem to notice when I'm not wearing them either. Right. I don't get to do that, whipping the glasses off and
like
going,
Jane from Neighbours.
Why Miss Caborn Smith, you're beautiful. No one does that. No one notices whether I'm wearing them or not, so...
I feel I sound like I'm just saying it, but I feel like I did notice today. But that's because I'm really noticing glasses, because I'm going to order...
Because you're between glasses. Well,
I'm between glasses, I'm going to order a new pair.
I'm just happy you can see me, Hattie.
Well, it's a bit blurry, but it's... anyway. I'm only pissed. Welcome, Margaret.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I had this intro, but now, you know...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But everyone knows you, Margaret. Everyone knows you. You're a favourite on here. And because you've been away, you were away for about 3 months, was it?
Yeah.
So anyone listening from Newbury?
Yeah, anybody in the Berkshire area.
You're very famous around there now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's nice being in... it's one of the only places you can go and say you're an actress and they'll be like, well, what would I have seen you in? And you'll be like, I'm at the Watermill. Because everyone in Newbury knows the Watermill and is there, you know, so...
But it's quite... Because me and Gemma did look up, I was like, let's go. We love you. We love Spike Milligan. Because there's a play about Spike Milligan.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, and then I looked up the journey. I was like, it's going to be an overnighter journey if we go.
Yes, it would be. And also, because of Storm Eunice, I had people... fail to get to see me because they, you know, trees on the roads and whatever.
But you had a fabulous time.
I had a fabulous time, yeah. Cut off in the middle of nowhere. It's really good when there's a war starts. You can just pretend nothing is happening. And actually, to be fair, I mean, lovely plug. I'm going on tour, hopefully, with it in the autumn. So it might be in some more sensible places.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll let you know for sure.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the what it was? Because I love Spike Milligan. And
yeah,
what about your part? What did you? Because I was trying to work out from the writer.
The good thing about my part is that it wasn't a real person, so I could do whatever. Oh. Like, you know, everyone else had to be careful. Like, we had Spike Milligan, one of Spike Milligan's daughters there on press night, and obviously that's a really intimidating thing, you know, for the guy playing Spike, particularly. Yeah. And she was really, really lovely, because I think sometimes Spike Milligan, obviously everyone knows about his mental health problems, and that sometimes plays about him or whatever can be a bit dark. This isn't necessarily how I want to remember my dad, but our play is very much about the sort of, it, you know, it touches on the mental health stuff as well, but it was all about the joyful type, the goons becoming big, basically. So it was
imagine having a play written about you.
I know, and not only
it's
that,
so special,
loads
isn't it?
Of plays written about him. Like, he's still so loved. I mean, for somebody who was around in the 50s, it's extraordinary.
What do you think that was? Because he sort of, you know, without sounding, you know, he pushed boundaries with the BBC and all that kind of thing. Like, he just kind of did what he wanted.
It was like everything before that, because there's, stuff about Educating Archie, which was the big show that was on at the time, which was a ventriloquist act on the radio. And it was, you know, it was not groundbreaking. It was really, really, dry, silly stuff. But there's a really sad story about that, because the guy who did it, so he was a big act in the music halls, ventriloquist, went on to, had a radio show, long-running radio show, you know, massive ratings, everybody loved it. TV happened, so they're like, great, we can put him on TV now.
Yeah.
He'd forgotten how to do the ventriloquism bit, because obviously you don't have to on the radio, so he was just doing it into the microphone. So he couldn't do it. So he's like, everyone's like, your lips are moving, because he's forgotten how to do the thing. So it was a big flop on telly.
Oh, I can imagine.
Very sad.
You just make me think of Nina Conti. She went another great,
because she's been on the radio as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she was on Mastermind recently with the monkey, wasn't she?
Oh my god, what's she
didn't do very well, apparently.
Well, was it the monkey or her?
Well, that was the thing. She took the monkey, and people would say you shouldn't have took the monkey. But great, and you got to.
So my part. Anyway, my part was basically the sound technician who did all of the Foley work, which is the, you know, making the sound effects from, you know, footprints on gravel.
Oh, right. Doors, I wonder why you like had a trumpet and stuff.
Yeah, playing the trombone. Yeah, getting a noise. I wouldn't say playing the trombone, but getting a noise out of the trombone.
And it's all set in the 50s.
Yeah, so loads of it is set in during the radio recordings. Brilliant fun.
And not to do that thing of like, just because you're a mum, but because obviously we are the funny mummies.
Yeah.
Obviously, you was so was you away for the whole 3 months?
Yeah.
Or would you have done it back?
Pretty much. I was back every. Well, when I was rehearsing, I was back for the whole weekend. And when I was performing, I would get back on the Saturday night and have a very intense Sunday with the kids. And they're just just, you know how it is? Like, you're just, I mean, when I was away, it was so sort of, I mean, not quite everything's done for you because it's theatre, so nothing's done for you.
Yeah.
But really, like, in this sort of tranquil garden with loads of ducks, and I was spending the day, you know, with teeth whitening strips on, just wandering around. Say in a kimono. I don't have a kimono, but somehow I picture myself in a kimono.
Yeah, in your mind you was. It was just a dirty old dressing gown, really. Yeah.
Not even that, just a vest and pants. But, you know, and then suddenly the intensity of being with the family, and they are like, my daughter was like, I've got a jiu-jitsu move to show you, and my son's asking to translate things into ancient, you know, Roman. And
right.
Just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it's that thing of, like, some people say when you know, to sort of just be completely away or not, or, you know.
Well, do you know what Bono's wife does?
What?
She, when he comes back from tour,
he's
so unbearable around the house. Like, he so can't handle family life. And, I mean, that's his family life, which I presume has loads of staff and whatever.
I mean, come on!
But he's such a nightmare, apparently, that she makes him go, like, commute from a hotel for a bit. So he comes back and sort of gradually comes back into the family life. And that is ideal. I mean, I'd love that. A few more lions.
Yeah.
It's like coming back from prison in a way.
It's exactly like,
kind of
Gemma, it's exactly like prison.
It's exactly like prison.
Wow. So, you did that, you're back.
I'm back.
And now you're back full in to parenting.
Yeah, which is why I've come here to escape.
Yeah. She was like, can we record in person? Yes, I can. How early? As early as you like. We've just all had, I don't know when you'll be listening to this, listeners, but yeah, we've just come off the back of, for me, very long 2 weeks Easter holidays. I felt like everyone and his wife was on holiday on a beach abroad somewhere, and I was like, just trying to do little picnics to the local farm or whatever and not spend too much money, but you just do end up still spending about £100,
especially every time you leave the house.
Every time. it's like a levy to leave the house, £100. I know.
Me and Gemma had a lovely day. We took the kids to the Tate.
Did you?
We took the boys to the Tate.
Modern. What have they got there at the moment? Have they got like flying things? And
they've got surrealism without borders.
I wish you could see the dance move that Gemma is doing at the moment.
Surrealism without borders.
And surrealism without borders.
And they have
borders in surrealism. And then,
they had a light installation, but we didn't make it there.
Oh.
But that looked good. Oh,
I don't even know what we were meant to make, but
happy to get in there.
The older boys, because both ours are like, mine's 6, yours are 7. They loved it. Well, I think Ali loved it. Did he love it?
Yeah.
Hux loved it, my oldest, but the youngest, he's 3 and a half. He was like a really terrible art critic. He's just going, not for me. He's got a really weird accent, my 3-year-old. Like, he slightly sounds Spanish, and I don't know where it's come from. Because he does this thing.
Not for me. My daughter, when she was little, she used to go, I wouldn't like it.
Like Coronation Street.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it.
Exactly, really. Brilliant character.
But the older one was like leaning. I think at one point he was leaning on some Jackson Pollock, I think.
Oh my God.
Just leaning on it, drawing, because he was like, Mummy, I'm so inspired.
I'm not inspired. Let's go.
Yeah.
When I was little, my little sister managed to touch a painting, I think, at the National Gallery.
Uh-oh.
Like, got under the
rope. Oh, we set off alarms.
The alarm went off. But get this, they took my mum away from me and my sister. I reckon we were about, 8, 7 and 3. They took her to another room to question her, and we were just left outside, and my old sister and I started planning what to do if she never came. That's it. She's in prison now. We're going to have to look after the 3-year-old whose fault it was.
I love that.
That's insane, isn't it? It's just like, there was obviously no big heist going on.
Oh, God.
I thought you were going to say, she'd won a prize. The alarm goes off. And you've won a prize for being the most cultured mum. Bringing your kids to art gallery. Oh, how funny. Yeah, no, we did set off alarms. But they just sort of then turned it off because I think they realised it was going to just keep going off.
Yeah.
Because there was other kids.
Talking of prizes, here's a little thing for you. My my nephew, Michael, is named after my dad, my late dad.
And
they were at Mass the other day, and they were reading out the dead,
Yeah.
So the camera said, Michael Beagley.
Yeah.
My little nephew went, what? He's dead.
He was dead. Amazing. Oh, my God.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. How's that? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then he was just like,
so
and then he wondered if he'd won the raffle.
Yeah.
And he was just like, why are they saying my name?
He suddenly woke up. It did take. Oh, bless him.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah.
My friend's little boy once was at a funeral, but went up onto, I think his granddad's funeral, went up onto the altar and blew out the candles and sang Happy Birthday.
Life goes on.
Exactly.
That's what it's about, isn't it? Did you have a good Easter then, Margaret?
Yeah, we went to a terrible Dino Kingdom.
Oh,
not terrible, say no to be more. Fair, but a bit like, when you see those Winter Wonderland parks and it's all a bit, it was the end of this thing, as in it was all a bit worn out, like the mini golf.
Is it where
destroyed.
They take this thing where they take the dinos and plonk them different places? No?
Actual dinosaurs. Real life dinosaurs. No, it was like a mix. There were some sort of animatronic things which were really impressive. And then one walking, like a guy who was in the suit walking around, and it was really, really impressive until you got closer and it was a bit less impressive, and you could see like a big gap in his zip, hanging down by his crotch. And it's like, oh, this isn't as good.
Dinosaurs had their flies up. Come on.
And a sort of terrible mini golf with a guy on a sofa who wouldn't get out of the sofa running. And then, you know, overpriced food, all of that. But
all
the,
of that.
You know, the kids loved it. You just have to do those things sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise you think they have just been watching 9 hours of Bluey.
Oh, yeah. Which is nothing wrong in that. No. We're big.
Oh God, well, this, yeah. I mean, now we're over the Paw Patrol phase. I'm happy.
Delighted.
Yes,
delighted. I never really allowed the Paw Patrol.
We hated it so much.
We just pretended it's not working. Did a lot of that. Honestly, because it's just so awful, I couldn't do it. And I thought, they can live without Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
They can live without it.
What did you hate about it?
Everything. It sounds so arty-farty and snobby, but it's so fast and hectic.
It's badly written.
The plots and everything are awful. And it was like, if we've got to put up with this just awful.
Yeah. Whereas
did
Bluey,
Al like it? For a while.
Yeah, he was all right in it. But I didn't sit and watch it with him. But
no, but even just having the background, we couldn't handle it. And I just thought...
What I didn't... And I think I've said this before on this podcast about this constant kind of teamwork. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, life is not like that. Like, it's just not.
No, exactly. They're learning the same wrong lessons over and over again.
Exactly.
And that dogs will
village,
come...
village people, dog family.
Yeah. And that dogs will come to the rescue. They won't. They'll poo all up the... Well, you know, I went out with a shovel the other day because there's a... On the way to school, you do have to play it, dip, dog.
Oh, my word.
And it's and you know, in just one day, you go, no, I'm not doing this.
You took a shovel on the school run.
So when I came back, I dropped him off. I live really near the school run. I got my shovel and I didn't think about it, though, Margaret, that I was also dropping something off at the reception, like one of the kids' snacks that I forgot. So I've gone up and I'm just shoving it down to the drains. That's what I was doing. I'm shoveling the poo into drains. And then I've got to go into the reception with the shovel.
Really shovel.
Patty, did you have your, like, headscarf on and everything? Did you look like a proper land girl?
I think I just looked like I might be coming to murder the teachers.
I'm imagining you with, like, mud on your face.
Yeah. Poo.
Yeah.
No, but the mums already think I'm cranky. No, that surprises you. So I think that morning they were like, what are you doing? I went, I've had enough. Clearing up dog poo. There you go. Now, are, of course, other ways that we should... release some tension and we could just talk about anything, but we thought we'd try and direct it a little bit. And so Margaret's always so good at coming up with topics, and I said, Margaret, what would you like to talk about? And she said, hashtag mums on the raz. So if I'm correct, going out as we used to pre-kids, I mean, we could talk about pre-COVID as well now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, we all just don't know how to function socially now. And the difference with how it is now to going out. I mean, obviously, there's going to be obvious ones. But I thought, before we get into it, let's have one of your song choices. So I asked you for either a song that was something you might have played when you were getting ready, or something that... if it came on when you were out, you have a little dance to. What did you go for?
I was mainly in indie disco, so this probably wouldn't have
Me
been
too.
Put on. So I was doing... So this would be a getting ready to go out. So it's the first song on my Best of Dusty Springfield...
Oh, is it?
...album that I used to always listen to. And it's Am I the Same Girl?
Yes. We go. That's Madge and Margaret getting ready to go out. Would you you're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. If you have just joined us, I'm Hattie Ashdown, that's Margaret Cabon Smith and Gemma Beagley. So we're gonna talk about going out now. we're parents and grown up, supposedly.
Yeah, grown up's probably more the point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more the point. And
although my daughter said to me the other day, because I said I was feeling a bit sad, and I was saying to her, "When you're, do you think when you're older and you want to, you know, go out, will you come to the pub with me? Can I, you know, can we go for a drink?" And she was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And I said, "It's all right. I won't go dancing with you or anything." And she said, "No, your dancing will have degraded even more by then."
degraded?
It's like my eyesight.
Wow.
She doesn't degraded.
Oh, there's a whole...
I don't know whether she's been monitoring my dance. It's not that she sees me dance a lot.
Well, there's a whole other topic, isn't there? Going out. I mean, we're not at that stage yet. Or I mean, your oldest daughter's what? So she's
13 now.
Oh, my God!
Know, I'm sorry.
How did that happen?
I know, time passes and it's all terrifying.
I'd love to lie.
She seems 10. About 8. Yeah.
So you could, yeah.
I could. This is the thing. You start to think, oh, my God, there's going to be a point where they can just choose to never see you. Yes, like, I've got her in the house now. But soon enough, she'll be gone. And
2-3 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's that. That's
and we think we really want that. But then when you're coming near to it, it's...
I think it's going to be hard.
I think about it. Just me and him.
Do
and
you?
Just the day going, I'm not coming home tonight. It's like, okay. Yeah, that's exactly. Good for
and
you.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to be like that, don't you? You have to be like, yeah, great. I taught you well. You know, be independent.
It's fun. And my boys, they're only like 3 and 6, but I heard one of them would say something about, well, when I'm in my house and then Buster's in his house, and I went, but aren't you going to live together? You're going to live together forever. Like, I just want to keep that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Unit.
My daughter, when she was about 8, she said, I'll live in the flat opposite and I'll bring you a croissant and orange juice every morning.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm writing that down and I'm holding you to that. And I was thinking, as if she's ever going to be able to afford
a croissant.
Yeah.
By that time. So I'll just start off with saying then, did you used to go out with your mum or parents when you were younger?
No, not dancing.
Not dancing, like... not even for a drink?
I mean, we still go, like, we go out.
I mean, now
it's
different, but I mean, when you were...
Yeah, when I was younger, probably not.
19, 20?
No, at that point, no? I was quite... No. No, I mean, it's funny, like, a while ago, my mum came to see a show, I mean, maybe 10 years or something, my mum came to see a show with me, and then afterwards... I was trying to say goodbye to her and I could see that she... And I was going on to a party and I could see that she just wanted to come to the
really?
Party. Yeah. And I sort of, and I felt quite bad when I was like, listen, Dad's going to be really worried if you don't. She was like, okay.
You didn't want her to come?
No, I did, but I was genuinely... Like, she was sort of dithering and I, you know, she was like, oh, shall I ring your father and say that we come out? And we'd already been out quite late. We'd been out for dinner after the show or whatever. And then, man, I was just... I don't know, I suddenly remembered that she was... She moved to London when she was 18.
Right.
Maybe even 17. Wow. From Canada, having, you know, just came on the... Gotten the money to get on the boat and came here. And I just suddenly saw that person, you know, that like, adventurous girl who was like, oh, I sort of quite like going out on the town. Because my dad, you know, was never really into that
sort really?
Of thing.
Oh, really?
Okay. I could see that she was like...
That glint in her eye that she would have stayed
she
out.
She wants to go dancing. Yeah.
Gemma, did
and
you...
And I didn't let her.
You didn't? Go home. Dad's really worried. Nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to deal with you. Did you ever go out with your parents, Gemma?
No. No, but I had a friend whose mum was a... Yes, they used to... Like, she was,
what was the word that came into your head, Gemma?
No, I can't.
She so wanted to say...
I'm not going to say an old soak. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not friends anymore, it's fine. She won't be
not
listening.
A swear word.
So we would kind of be left to our own devices from kind of the age of 14, and sometimes we'd go to the pub and she'd be she was I kind of felt sorry for my friend because it was getting a little bit embarrassing.
Right.
But and actually I was never jealous of that.
Right.
I was never actually jealous of the kind of very very close kind of we go shopping together.
Yeah.
I was never
it's
jealous
funny
of
that because I know a counsellor who says that if anyone comes in and sees them and they say, my mum's my best friend, they think, oh, this is going to be a long old session.
People
say that's, not right, do they? But I think.
Would you have said that, had you?
No. I think there's an element, maybe it's just because I'm going through this with my son, where I feel like, I mean, he even said to me yesterday, he went, Mummy, we just get each other.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
And like, there is a connection because he has his problems, and we went to a party yesterday. I mean, my ears are ringing today, not because I was out clubbing, unfortunately. Not that I ever really went clubbing. I wasn't a clubby club person. I was a bit like you, Margaret, indie clubs, really. But because
they count.
Going to a soft play trampoline place, and it's just so loud, isn't it? And there was a few problems there with this one particular boy. Clicks on him and stuff. It was a party, and I just see so much of myself. Anyway, I'm diverting, but just struggling with making friends at this age, and I want to be able to say it'll be all right.
You'll get into
comedy and you'll find your people. But
well, you know, our family motto is there's nothing wrong with weird.
That's a great motto.
What's the family motto? Although they started to go, well, what if it's illegal? Oh, God, all right.
I was a bit jealous because my mum being a lot older than a lot of other mums and stuff. But she made more of a thing of it, really. She'd be like, oh, I feel bad. I'm not like one of those mums that, you know, we jet set off to Paris for the day or something like that. And I go, Mum, I did in latter years... We did go out for meals and stuff like that. And we started going out for meals as my mum and all my sisters, which was nice because we didn't think about doing it because our family, there's four of us girls. And then there's like the extended, the partners. And luckily, like I think about 8 years before she died, we sort of for her birthday went, sod all the partners and the grandchildren. Let's just go out, the five of us. And it was so nice.
Yeah.
That we got to do that. But no, I never. But what I did do was from about 14, 15, because I've got older sisters, I did go out with them.
Wow.
So now I sort of think, oh my God, you poor thing. Like, you had to take your 15-year-old sister to the pub and she was in her early 20s.
Oh my God.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's awful. I'd go to parties with my older sister who was incredibly popular and fun, and I would just be the one crying in the back bedroom like with one of her friends who could come comfort me. I've got no friends. No one fancies me.
You
know, awful.
Do you think
that's family?
That's family.
Stuck with it.
Well, so yeah, well, look, what would you, so you came up with this topic, Margaret, is it because something happened recently that made you think going out is very different? I mean, obviously we've got the obvious, we've got responsibilities.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of things I'd so prefer now that I'm mature and grown up enough to go, I want to go home.
Yeah.
And not that feeling of like, yeah, you've got to stay out or whatever.
No, because I remember when we used to like go away for the weekend or whatever with mates, and it would be like, we take a pair of heels in case we go clubbing. And I realised last couple of years we've been away for the new year and I wear wellies and take my slippers. That's it. I mean, not even any decent, even for the pub. Like, just sort of like, that's it. Yeah. And that is, it's sort of...
beautiful.
It's a shame. But also it's not, because that's what I want. I suppose I feel able to do more what I want. It was funny being away doing this show and I was the oldest person in the cast, which I was very, like, early on I was very aware of and sort of going, oh God, are they all laughing at the old lady sort of thing. And then just realising, oh no, actually it's fine. And I'm really enjoying late nights and just sort of
hanging out.
Really enjoyed it because I don't have to get up in the morning.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, so brilliant. Like lovely young people keeping me company, get drunk and know that I've got a full day. I mean, it's so different from that thing where you're even, whatever time you're having, a brilliant time and just constantly like, I've got to get up at 6 and try and, you know, be awake for my children.
And that's the thing, it's not just getting up. Like today, I did do a few things, but generally, that's one of the reasons I quite like coming in to do this podcast early, because I miss out on the school run.
Yeah.
And I say to Alex, you're going to have to get up because I can't have to deal with them. I'm just... so rare to just look after yourself.
That's the difference, isn't it? To do your fringe, you know.
More exciting about that.
No, you're thinking your fringe looks amazing.
Oh, thanks.
I've added hours.
Because you're
my
in the fringe gang now.
I'm in the fringe
gang.
You were my fringe-spiration.
Was I?
But you've got straight hair, though. It's, I think it's easier.
Last time we saw you, you had a clip-on fringe.
Yeah, a clip-on fringe, exactly. Spent all that money on a clip-on fringe.
If you go back to...
how much money was it again?
Oh, my God, it was £40.
Was was it?
It was £40.
For a little syrup.
I'll tell you why. Because I bought a really cheap one that was so cheap and nasty. Yes. Was that the one I was showing you? Yeah. It was from Wish. I mean, what an idiot. It's the only one I've ever bought from Wish. What's wrong with me?
£40 from Wish. Like,
and it was like a threadbare. I mean, it was honestly,
bit of old horse's hair.
I was like, well, I can't tell anything from that. So I bought one from Hershison's.
Oh, so you were doing a kind of try before you...
I was trying because I was really scared of it. It sounds silly, but I was like, what if it's a nightmare and what if I look stupid?
And you love it now?
Love it. And the only reason I didn't keep the clip on was I thought, I'm not that tall. So I kept thinking people will be peering and looking at the plaster and clipping properly. Yeah, exactly. I just knew I wouldn't be able to do it, you know, well enough. Like, I'm not one of those people who, has a smooth... What's the end of that sentence?
Smooth fringe.
Cut that.
Have you ever had a fringe,
Gemma?
Has a
smooth life.
Not since I was about 8, actually. And I had a very thick started about my back.
Oh, yes. Kind of where they go back big. And back and back and back.
We need the photos.
Yeah. It's almost like it wasn't a fringe. It was like my hair was on back to front.
It's just a bowler haircut.
Yeah, like a Beatles.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But no, not since then, no. Yeah, never even considered it.
Well, Gemma, what I will say, cheaper than Botox.
Yeah.
I'm sure I said that the last time.
Gemma.
This is the reason that I...
It is cheaper than Botox and I am due a little top up.
Because you know Gemma's a Botox woman now.
No, amazing. Oh, yeah,
this is how much you've missed, Margaret.
So much.
Yeah, I'm a year into Botox now.
And
so,
how long does it last?
Well,
you look fabulous.
That's 3 months.
3 months.
There you go. So I'm starting to move again.
You see, I need my children to know that I'm angry with them. That's the thing. I'm just like, what am I going to do? Oh, look, Mummy's serene again. It's all fine.
Oh, my goodness. Right, let's have another... your choice of track. Oh, my God. I always forget the postcode. The postcode?
The postcode. What? You've chosen a track with the postcode, Gemma?
No, it's my password for the iPad.
Oh, okay.
And it's my son's date of birth, so that says a lot.
You should remember that, yeah.
Gemma, it's yours, a going out song, getting ready song.
Oh, I just remember being young and I remember going to a club with a friend. It was like more of a late bar with a dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
It was empty and it was just me and my mate. We were like 16 or something.
Lovely.
Just taking over the dance floor. I had a great time. I just remember dancing to this.
Sometimes it's really nice to have space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
dance
floor. Oh, yeah, I'm very funny about space. I think that's why...
You don't want a packed dance floor?
Depends, but generally, I want a bit of space, Margaret.
Do you
like it
what
packed,
are your moves
then?
Like?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sweeping around. Are you like, see it, like that Sia video where she's... Yeah.
I do sort of floating think there might be a dancing scout around.
You never know. Dance like a dancing scout is watching. That's what they say, isn't it?
That's the fridge magnet.
Yes, that's it. Right, would you like to introduce it then, Gemma?
Yes, is there somebody else's guy?
Good choice.
Nearly was Bump Up the Jam.
Get off my horse and I can't let you go. You are the one who, you are the one who makes me feel so real. Yeah.
Oh, gonna fade it out, even though we love that song, but we want to just make sure we get all the chat in.
Also, we're getting tired from all the dancing.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to speak out loud. The rest of us going, rest of the show like this.
I just thought I'd try and have a little jig, because we were trying to... remember dancing and it's just there's a certain auntie flow
that's what we can call it.
It's the auntie flow dance.
Isn't that a period thing?
It is a period, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Auntie Flo comes
to coming to stay.
Oh, yes.
Nothing to do with dancing.
Oh, my God. Okay, I can't
combine it.
We can't have that. But I went to a wedding recently, so that... joins in the whole dancing, but also like we were without the kids.
Loads of old people.
With, like, young and old. I think I was one of the oldest, to be honest.
Oh, really?
So, so it was out the kids. It was one of those, it was like, if you can, don't bring your brats, you know?
I mean, I, I took my daughter to a wedding when she was 18 months old, and I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? If I've got anyone to look after them, you know, who wants to bring a child to a wedding?
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
It's so not fun.
It is a... My older sister's getting married in May, and my other sister isn't bringing her two-year-old. She's like, no.
Maybe when they're a bit older and they can have fun with their cousins and whatever, fine.
Yeah.
But a two-year-old, that's just a lot of work. Yeah, it's going to ruin your day.
Just stay at home.
Yeah, I
put him in a cage.
Well, I literally took my youngest, so he was just like just crawling age. I can't remember what age that was now. I've forgotten what the landmarks are.
Yeah.
But I took the fold-out playpen. And so there we are in this lovely barn. You know, I just like pinged it open. But they also did want me to. I was like one of the master ceremonies. So I was like, mate, I've got a bunk baby in there. When I'm walking around with a hand-free mic, I had work to do. But I remember, being on the dance floor, and I was looking around this wedding. This is a couple of weeks ago, and was like, just so many different types of dancing. And this teenager who got up and the family got up, she was in pain. She was, did not want to get up on that dance floor. I don't know if that's a teenage thing. Or
why was she
self-conscious?
I kept looking and I thought, just leave her alone. She obviously doesn't want to. And it was just so painful to watch. But and I do that thing where I brought it on back. I took my shoes off.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Took my shoes off and I'm dancing in front of the DJ booth because I used to be a bit of a DJ, of course, and I've DJed a few of my friends' weddings.
No, you weren't, like, criticising.
So I like to tell the DJ that I used to be a DJ.
That was me. I was there.
I know what it's like, mate. Yeah, I know what it's like. That's a good one. That's got them all up, isn't it? Yeah, well done.
Oh, God.
Wow, you're not coming to my wedding.
It's been my wedding present for a lot of people. It saves
standing in front of the DJ.
Yeah, pissing the DJ off. Yeah.
No, he was lovely. No, he was good. I would rate him good out of whatever. I went for it. I did my I was auditioning.
Did you feel old?
Yeah.
Like, did you feel like these moves are...
I still just felt like I wasn't quite in this groove.
So one of the reasons that I was thinking about this topic was that Annie Mack, the Radio 1 DJ, just left Radio 1, in fact, she starts a night called Before Midnight, which is a club night that ends at midnight for people who... who are adults and want to go for dance. Because it's true that there's just nowhere to go that, you know, if you sort of like, if you wanted to wind down at around 10, then, you know, nothing.
As opposed to it just getting going, you know, I think we had a few things recently where Alex was like, because my husband's a bit younger than me. He's not that young, he's not a teenager, but he's like 9 years younger than me. And sometimes it does really show. And he's like, a friend of was DJing and he was like, I don't think he's doing his set till about 11:30. And I was like,
yeah, I mean, I would be the same. Yeah, I'd be like, half 11 in the morning. I could get going by then. Get a bit of Prosecco on at 11.
It's
starting. No.
So I'm up for this club because,
have your kids to, you know, do your fish fingers at about 6. get to the club. I'm up for it.
Where is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
In London somewhere.
Well, in fact, I think it might not be just London. I think she might be taking it around.
It's a great idea.
But look it up, called Before London, Annie Mack.
Before London?
No. Before midnight, not before London. Destiny, I'm exhausted after all that dancing. I can't get my brain in gear. Got brain fog. That's a new thing, apparently.
Oh,
and when I say a new thing, it's menopausal.
I don't think I'm going to get time to play one of my... I'll play a couple of seconds.
I thought you were going to say you're not going to have time for the menopause. And I really hope that was the choice.
Oh, I know. I think I'm going through it now. Doesn't anyone
have
perimenopause? Just
I know. But everything I feel and get...
That's true. It's very menopause.
But I was like...
But periods are going crazy.
I've always been a bit anxious and hot.
Yeah. And that's just on my Tinder profile.
If I was on Tinder, it would say anxious and hot. Maybe anxious and a bit hot.
Talking of which, Gemma, any dating updates?
What's it say on your profile?
No, the profile got deleted.
What?
Is it?
Because of you weren't using it enough?
No, it's just, do you know what?
Do they delete
the
you
effort.
If you didn't
use it? Yeah. No, the effort got cancelled.
So much
effort.
Cancelled on Tinder, that's bad.
The effort. It's too much.
I can't imagine.
Margaret,
yeah.
It's too much effort. I just, cannot someone just be there?
Actually, I can see a guy from here.
There's one outside.
There's one outside.
Not him. Mm,
not him.
Not but, him. Can we you see what? Because you're picky. That's why there's no one just here.
I am picky as well. There's a lot of rock climbing and a lot of... Oh. Just people.
Oh, I thought that was a metaphor then, but you mean actually?
No, actual photos of men rock climbing and drinking coffee.
Is that a deal breaker? Is that a photo of rock climbing?
I don't know.
Swipe left.
I don't know.
Which is the good one?
I don't even know. So yeah, no. But what happened, as I said, I don't know if I've shared it here, was that I just turned into the most boring version of myself when I start chatting to these. It's not my medium.
Yes,
that's what it is. Yeah, I'm more of an IRL.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You're supposed to like meet up as soon as possible. I think if I was doing that, I would be like that. I'd be like, can we? But is that just not done?
No, exactly. Then you're just like, all right.
Yeah, then you seem like you're just up for some
exactly
raw
which
dogging
not,
in a
which,
you know Starbucks
raw dog.
I'm not saying that that's what Gemma is. So.
I'm anti dogging. Under the absolute,
she said it.
I'm not dogging ambivalent. I'm anti dogging very much so. So no is the answer.
Talking of which, I'm going to play you. No, so this song, I'll play you a couple of seconds of it and then I'll fade it out. This song, I was like, oh yeah, it reminds me of a certain time when, goddamn bad, when me and a friend, I think we were both sort of a bit out of work and found ourselves, she was sort of found herself a bit homeless and she came and lived with me and I just split up with my boyfriend, but I was still living in the same house. It's just a bit of a messy time. Yeah. But he was still living in the house sometimes, but we were amicable and she came and slept on my floor. And this was a sort of getting ready to go out song. And it's Dolly Parton, of course. And it's, let me make sure I've got it. It's Potential New Boyfriend.
Oh, love this. I used to listen to this one.
Yes, Margaret's singing. I'm going to fade it out because we haven't got time. But it just reminds me of a time when we used to say we're going out looking for pirates. That just tells you a lot about the time me and my friend Shireen were just having a good
pirates?
Time. Pirates?
What about pirates was attractive?
Pirates,
the Somalian ones? Or no. No, the...
Boys with eyeliner, I think.
Oh,
was,
okay.
Yeah, boys with eyeliner. But there was a bit of that going on. So that's for my friend Shireen. Somewhere. That's how crazy we were. I don't even know where she is now.
One of those.
Friends like that.
Yeah. On the high seas.
She's
probably.
In. I think she went back to Wales and never to be seen again. But if you ever watch my sitcom, Give Out Girls, one of the characters is based on her and she knows it. It's a lovely tribute to her.
Aww.
Oh, I just found these shoes outside, Hattie. And I think they're right. Got a bit of yogurt on them. A bit, wash them up. Anyway.
She sure it was yogurt.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's never yogurt.
It's never yogurt.
It's never yogurt.
What a terrible catchphrase. It's never yogurt.
So many catchphrases today. So to round up, I think we all are just, we parted, and when there's no resentment there, I don't know about you, but like, I feel like a night out is very different, but there are pros and cons, isn't it? Because I've always been a bit of a granny, really, and now I can really embrace the granny because I am nearly a granny age, you know, that's what it feels like. I could officially be a granny. I'd had a child at 16.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, you can just say, yeah, I want to go home, as opposed to that feeling of like, okay, I'll stay out, and then really regretting staying out. And you think, oh, why did I say I'll stay out and miss the last train? And I could have just...
The night bus is the worst.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable anymore.
No.
I went on one a while ago. It's
no.
Awful.
It's the getting home.
Yeah.
You're just much more aware of it, aren't you? When you're young,
exactly.
You're sort of, not thinking about how you're going to get home. Living in the moment.
But I'm quite happy living in...
Just living a little bit ahead.
Little bit.
5 minutes. In the next 5 minutes.
I've got another 5 minutes. Well, I do say I'm going to go. I sort of... very much go, right, I'm only here for a little while. I had a birthday party recently, a friend of ours, and I was really, really tired, but I was like, right, I'm going in hard. And I literally did a few songs on the karaoke, went out on a little dance, and then I went, bye! And was
it. All, leave on high.
I think they all thought, is she out without her carer? I think.
Does anyone know her?
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't talk to anyone.
I didn't eat a load of food because I had a buffet and no one was eating the food. Margaret.
Yes.
Anything you want to big up? Now, I didn't get a chance to big up your new podcast called Crushed.
I have a podcast called Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith.
It sounds brilliant.
I've really, really been loving doing it. I've had brilliant guests on so far. The episodes that are out are Dolly Alderton, Deborah Francis White and Jess Foster Q. We have Sarah Pascoe, Izzy Sutty, Lucy Porter and Chappie Cool Sandy coming up.
Wow. So, and you talk to people about their first ever crush?
Not particularly. We do. Right. We do a range of crushes, but some people end up talking about people now.
Right.
Some people it's first crush, some people it's celebrity crush. We cover crushes. All bases, yeah.
Is there a rule to it that it has to be someone you didn't actually get off with?
Yeah, the idea is that it's unrequited. Although obviously sometimes things happen, but I think that doesn't quite count.
Okay.
If you've ever achieved anything with them, you know. You're supposed to pine. Yeah.
I want to come on.
Come on. I'm sure, I mean, hearing about you and Shireen and your tissues.
And the pirates.
I'm sure you'll have a lot of stories.
Celebrity crushes. Yeah. Anything else you want to pick up?
No. I mean, yeah, come and see me on tour in Spike.
Oh, yes.
If you're, you know. It's a very Waitrose tour, we're saying. It hasn't been confirmed yet. Maybe I'll be sacked. Maybe I'll be sacked for trying to plug it before it happens. But yeah, that's enough, isn't it? A tour and a podcast.
Yeah, that is more than enough.
What do you want from her, Hattie?
Oh, I'm just checking, you know, not to give people airtime. Gemma?
No. Margaret's cleaning up.
Margaret's taking all the airtime.
Find Gemma a boyfriend. Just plonk one in front of her. She doesn't want to look.
No, exactly.
Just knock on the door.
Yeah.
Just someone to go out for a nice meal with. Yep. That is it, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
You don't want full-on commitment, really.
No.
Just someone to share a steak with.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want them to stay the night.
No.
Don't you?
No.
See them in the morning.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. You still like the bed all to yourself and all that.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Please follow me at Tati Ashton to keep up to date with all my previews and work in progress as I work towards the Edinburgh Fringe, which I cannot afford to do.
You can. You will.
I am. I'm doing it. But yes, I've got 1st of May. I can't remember when this is going out now. 1st of May, I will be at the Bill Murray 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So that's a nice afternoon one. So
Sunday?
Yeah. Like going out thing. You'll
Perfect.
Be home in time. There's no late night. Because I did one at 2 North Down recently at 9 o'clock at night, and I think my friends were like, can't do that.
King's Cross.
But yeah, do follow. And thank you for keep listening to this podcast. Do keep telling your friends and family and neighbours and anyone else, dog walkers.
Tell your dog walkers.
Yeah, but tell them to pick up their poo. I've been Hattie Ashdown. You've been Margaret Caborn Smith. You've been Jem Beakley. What should we play out with?
It's got to pump up the jam, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you heard bits of it. Yeah, of course. This is another one that if I hear on the dance floor, I'm getting up there. But I hear it, but then I go, oh, God, I don't know if I can keep the stamina for it.
Yeah, you can't groove.
Yeah, so let's pump up the jam. Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.